With your cooperation this evening, I should like to read to you the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. Although we're just dealing with a portion of this chapter, it's a difficult text to find the beginning for. And every time I try to find the place to start, I realize, well, that's not the place to start. And then I find that place to start, well, that really doesn't tell the whole story. And so, without going back to Acts chapter 1, let's this evening start at Acts chapter 19 and verse number 1. And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the name, by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." And also there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Now when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in his spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." So he sent into Macedonia 2 of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. And about that time there arose a great commotion about the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods, which are made with hands. So not only in this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship." Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So the whole city was filled with confusion, and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go to the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. And most of them did not know why they had come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude of the Jews, putting him forward. And Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly, for you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open. And there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering." And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. And that's the story of how Paul came to and left Ephesus and the region round about. And you may have been noticing as you read along that whereas in the New King James, from which I was reading, the name Diana is used, your translation may say Artemis. And without getting too far into the weeds here, they are separate deities, but they're the same deity. One is the Greek version of the Roman, which superseded and took over the Greek and took its history as well. The Greek term is Artemis, the Roman is Diana. And what is fascinating is not just that goddess of the hunt, as she was called then, but the great temple and the great industry built around that name. This temple of Artemis or Diana was one of the original ancient seven wonders of the world. It was four times as large as the Parthenon in Athens. To give you a size and scope of its dimensions, it was in length about 1.5 football fields. And in its width, it was that amount by half. And about 60 feet tall, with a number of pillars holding up the building to make it secure. It was a thing to behold, like I say, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And the problem that occurred here concerned the effectiveness of the Apostle Paul. He comes into this region, spends a few months, then spends a couple of years, and he does a great deal of upending. Turning upside down of what they've known, what they've always believed, and what they have made their money by. So many of these who are silversmiths, whose occupation is to make small shrines depicting the larger shrine to Artemis or Diana. And when it really comes down to it here, the main problem is nothing more than money. A lot of money was pouring in. A lot of money was being lost. And this wasn't the first incident. Remember, we read early in our reading about the burning of these books of magic. Some books amounting to 50,000. It was an amazing amount of money lost for them because of all of this that goes back to one man. Now, The one man we know is Jesus, and the way, as is described, Christianity about him. But the one preaching this man, Jesus, the one preaching the way, the church, now, this was the Apostle Paul. And he was the flashpoint of all the problems with respect to this in the minds of many that were losing money, losing business, losing meal on the table because of what they saw him doing. And so rather than going in the proper direction, maybe filing a complaint or doing something that way, they cause a major riot in the city. So much so that everybody is clamoring and yelling and speaking. And you notice in the midst of this, we just read it a moment ago together, that a lot of the folks there that were hollering didn't know what they were there for. Now, I find that fascinating and somewhat illuminating in terms of things we see even today. Things really haven't changed that much. Apparently, some people were just walking by in the area and they see a crowd gather and they see people chanting and yelling and screaming and they want to join the group and shout and yell and scream with them. And if you had put a microphone in front of their mouths back then and asked them, "What are you upset about?" I said, "I don't know. I'm just with these fellas." And they were. But there was a big consternation caused because of this. Now, I bring all of this up for just this one reason. That's a long time ago, and as this was one of the ancient wonders of the world, it's also an ancient story. You can travel over to the area of Greece, and you can see the remnants of some of these great structures in their decline over the decades and centuries and millennia. A long time has gone since then. And at the time of these events happening, the name known that everybody knew, everybody had on the tip of their tongue almost daily, was this great goddess Artemis or Diana. Everybody knew who she was. In fact, it was said by some at that time that everybody in Asia, in some way or another, worshipped Diana, worshipped Artemis. Jesus, well, he was known by a few. Paul was making his case for the gospel of Christ and getting the word out as best he could. It was already starting to encroach a bit on the influence that Diana or Artemis had had. But at that time, the better known figure, of course, was this one we've read about in the New King James as Diana. The lesser known was Jesus the Christ. And of course, at that point in history, there was no BC and AD. That would come to be in the not too distant future. A time when all of time's reckoning would be divided by that time before Jesus came and the time after Jesus came to this earth. Diana had never known anything like that. As well known as she was at the zenith of her popularity, she never achieved anything close to what Jesus did and has and always will have in terms of his name recognition. So much so that unless you've dug into this for a Bible class, for a Bible study at some time, if I had just asked you off the cuff, what's the difference in Diana and Artemis? Why do some translations have one word and some another? Would you have had a good answer? Well, if you've studied it through, probably you'd say yes, but most likely if you haven't, you'd say, well, I kind of wondered about that myself. I don't know. And if I ask you, well, what kind of a person was this, Diana Artemis? You'd have to say, well, I don't know. It's there, and there's a big riot. I remember the riot taking place in Ephesus. Well, who was she? And you'd probably say, I really don't know. Well, what was her temple like? You'd say, well, I don't know. It talks about it here, but I really don't know. It doesn't take long to be forgotten, does it? You know, we see that in the span of a lifetime that we've had. Now, this goes back before my day. May go back before some of the days of you. But you talk to people today about somebody like W.C. Fields. Who's that? Never heard that name. I was talking not too long ago to somebody about a movie that Jimmy Stewart was in, and that's pretty recent, I think. Never heard of Jimmy Stewart. Never even heard the word. Now, at the time of those men's lives, everybody knew who they were. Everybody. Whether you serve your generation well or not, you serve your generation. And when it's over, your name, even if it's a big one, eventually begins to fade. And to fall, so much so. Now, you may be the unusual one here this evening. But can you name all of the presidents in order from Washington all the way now to Trump? I can't. You give me a name and I'll probably be able to tell if he was or wasn't a president by the name. But I can't. I think I learned that in school, but that's been so long I forgot whether I learned it or not. And here you have men at the time that weren't just nobodies, they were somebodies. They weren't just somebodies, they were really somebodies. They were the president of the United States. And yet here we are these years later, and we can't even, most of us, remember their names, much less what they did. Oh, you can remember Washington or Lincoln. And you can remember those in your own lifetime. I think Eisenhower was the president when I was born, but I don't remember much about that. First one I remember is Kennedy and his assassination. But these names that meant so much at the time, their memories, even the best of them, fade over time. And here's a case with Diana Artemis. Memory has so faded that most of us would have to have a remedial course in Greek history to understand anything about her. But at the time, there was no one greater, no name greater, no one to be worshipped above her, but not so much now. Compare that to the name Jesus. Born in such humble circumstances, living what would seem to be such an ordinary life, and yet doing so in such an extraordinary way, even to the point of dying for the sins of humanity, that now he's not forgotten, he's remembered. And his name hasn't faded, it's grown. We here tonight, so many of us are proud to wear his name, the name of Jesus. Open your songbooks, if you would, to number 300. Number 300.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed. Yeah.
We mentioned a moment ago some big names, whether in celebrity of show business or in politics and government. And those big names, most all, have left the stage, left the platform of politics, and gone the way of all flesh, passed away. Jesus still lives. And this one, the Greeks called Artemis, the Romans called Diana, she never lived to start with. She was a work of fiction. She was just a part of Greek mythology. There was no Artemis. There was no Diana. And Jesus still lives. Historians have proven his existence. Theologians have pored over his words. And those of us who love him and love what he's done still reflect upon the gospel that turned the world upside down then and still changes lives even today. I guess what I'm trying to say this evening is we would do well to spend our lives focused on what lasts, on a name that will last and always has lasted. It's easy to be caught up in what the big news is for the day. It's easy to be infatuated with the stories and lives of the rich and famous that live today. But just know this, if the Lord tarries his coming and another 100 years come and go, the big names of right now will not be remembered by anybody but a few historians. As much as you hear about Trump, whether you like him or don't like him, you wait long enough, nobody will remember him. That's just the way of flesh, the way of life, the way it is. But you pin your hopes on Jesus Christ, and you've got something different. Those who believed on him and gave their lives to him on Pentecost, those in Paul's day who still continued to live the name of Christian in their own lives, and those of us today who have done the same, all will live on just as his name has, as he has. Put your faith in what lasts. Let's all put our emphasis and priority on what will last. The everlasting arms of the Savior. And the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. One more song together. Turn to number 230. 230. And we'll just sing the first verse together. 230.
Worthy of praise is Christ our Redeemer. Worthy of glory.
If you're here tonight and you have not yet obeyed the gospel, you can't truly, in the Bible way, call yourself Christian. Change that. Or if as a child of God, you've walked away and you no longer live like a Christian should and need to come and make things right before God and man, we bid you do so now as together we stand and sing.